Right, we're in Maimer Shlishi, in the middle of the 11th paragraph. It's on page 29, Otezvav, in our prints. The numbers start again at the Maimer Shlishi, so it's, I guess, the third 29 in the book. It says Maimer Shlishi. Three lines from the bottom. Ve'ein achosid misaseik. What happened in this section is that the king asked of the chaver to introduce him to the mitzvahs ma'isiyos. He asked him to introduce him into the mitzvahs that are kumvaseh. And he did that. He gave him a list of mitzvahs. Someone pointed out yesterday that Shiluach HaKein was missing. So I'm sure there's more. There were no 613 listed, but that was one that was missing. But anyway, he gave him a general list of mitzvahs. And divided them into the mitzvah sichlius, the logical mitzvahs, the mitzvahs alakus, which were the chukim. And the third category were the toires hanafshiyais, which are the philosophical mitzvahs of the Torah. What he says now, and this is his style in general, is to talk about how to go about using the third part, the philosophical mitzvahs, to help motivate a person in the other mitzvahs as well. He says, "Ve'ena chosid misaseik v'le chayshe v'le medaber." Righteous person doesn't do anything. Ad sheyamin sheimoy einayim rayos v'tzayfais v'goyim lois oisay ala toy v'al hara. Person who wants to do things properly has to be constantly aware that there are eyes that are watching, that God is aware of everything he does, and that guides him whether to the good or the better. And that God takes note of anything crooked in his behavior and his words. And he sits in front of God, fearful of making mistakes, just as he's joyful in being mekayim the mitzvahs. V'tiyaker nafshoi etzlei be'es ha'avayda. And at the same time that he feels the tsar of being able to do what has to be done, he also remembers the good. The klolei shodavar, the rule, the issue, mamin u'mekabel mashenemar, really that he believes this which we're taught, is stakel b'shloi shodavar ve'inat aboli de aveira. If one examines three things, he won't come to sin. Da ma'alamaylam amcha, know what's above you, ayin raya, ayin shemas, v'chol masecha b'seif nechtavim. That there's an eye that sees, an ear that listens, and everything you do is written b'seif of yira, shemash omer David, hataina hane emona, hanoita ayin, halo yishmar ayin salaya, em yaitzer ayin halo yabit. And always beware of David's famous taina that how could you behave a certain way, everything you do is observed, and God listens to him. Okay, so this is his first machshava, and that is that understanding the third set of mitzvahs, the philosophical mitzvahs, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides everything, is a motivator for the mitzvahs that come previously. Now, many years ago, I thought about this in a different context, and I've shared it over the years many times, that as a bacher, one of my yetzaharis is to be impatient. And when you're driving, that could cause a chilul Hashem. And when I used to go on Fridays to Mesivta Tiferes Yerushalayim, I had the second chazaka to drive Ramesha home. Almost everybody there was an East Sider. And they would know better than to try to come with a car and park around the East Broadway area. But we came from Tarvadas, so we had a car. And we had the second chazaka as a person who drove Ramay Shahom. Very often we had the right to drive Ramay Shahom. So many a time it was I who was driving. And it's interesting that when Ramay Shahom was in the car, I stopped for all the red lights and didn't do anything that would cause a chilul Hashem in my driving. So it's a very interesting idea that if Ramay Shahom is watching, you behave. So I started to wonder, well, if Ramesh is watching you behave, what if God is watching? If God is watching, you also should behave. Problem is that God doesn't take a place in the seat next to me, and doesn't. I don't see the ayin raya. I don't see the that God observes all the time. But that, in a nutshell, is what he's saying. There was a period of time when I used to get a ride home from someone, and one of the rebbeim in the yeshiva, Chassidish Rebbe, used to also get a ride home. And one time this Rebbe told him, the way you drive is a chilul Hashem. That's what he told him. The next day, we got in the car, the fellow took off his yeshiva shahat, put on a cap, he said, no chilul Hashem, you know, like, you tell I'm Jewish. So he told him, well, when I'm in this seat, people will know that that I'm Jewish. But you're right.
It's a famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the wagon driver stopped, grabbed the fruit off the tree, and said, somebody's watching, the wagon driver looks around, nobody can go get it, somebody's watching.
Okay. So that's the wagon driver story as well. The truth is that the Rambam, in defining Chilul Hashem, writes, Chilul Hashem is when a person behaves as if there's a halal is a void, as if there's a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not watching. And the Rambam makes the point that Chilul Hashem does not mean Goyim HaSing. The Rambam writes that if a person is alone in his house and he misbehaves, he acts as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not watching, that's also Chilul Hashem. He brings a raya, the Rambam is in two places, Sefer HaMitzvahs, by Chilul Hashem and the Rambam itself. He brings a proof from Yosef HaTzadik. It says that while Yosef HaTzadik in the episode with Eishes Potiphar, was Mekadeh Shem Shemayim, so Hashem added a hey, he called him Yehosef. So the Rambam, briefly, but he makes the point that there was no Kiddush Hashem, no Goyim was saying, wow, look at Yosef, we should be like him, because it was a scandal in Mitzrayim. It wasn't the way it was twisted, it was not a Kiddush Hashem to others. But still, Yosef behaved as if he understood that a God is watching. And that is Kiddush Hashem, the opposite of Chilul Hashem. So that's
it's a lower level.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that there's a level of Chilul Hashem where people say Oy Lo Rabbi Shalom De Torah, which is a worse level, but nothing. This is also now the truth is, and he points out here in the footnote of the Itzer Nechmad that the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim says this in a Meir Nevuchim that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch that the Rama brings is a quote from the Meir Nevuchim. As you know, the Meir Nevuchim is not often quoted in Shulchan Aruch. But the rather famous words of the Rama, Haggah, the first Haggah, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, who klal God l'betayru v'malas ha-tzadikim ha-shalchan l'fnei olikim. Right, the song... It comes from here, that the Klal Gadol in serving Hashem is the idea of Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samad, that God is watching. And he says exactly what we were saying. The Rama says, this is a quote of the Rambam, Ki ein yeshiva sa'adam u'tunuaysa v'asaka v'hu l'vaaday, ki yeshivasi tunuaysa v'asaka v'lufnei melech ha-gadol. The person, when he acts alone, is not the same way he behaves when others are watching. And the way you talk with acquaintances, not the same way you talk when the king is watching. So this is the idea that he's saying here, that the philosophical mitzvahs are the mitzvahs which are help motivate a person to behave properly in the other mitzvahs that a person has to do. So that's his machshava rishayna, his first thought regarding this. Now, if we go on to what's page 31 in our print, he mentions the machshava shniya. He continues with a second thought regarding that. And Yechashayv, now here, the first thing is something that I think we identify with more, the idea that it should be that way, Damashon L'may L'mecha. Here he says something that's a little different. Yachshayv, he should think, Kichalei Varav Musamim B'chachma V'seda V'shir. All of the limbs of a person, he doesn't just mean the outer limbs, but his ability to speak and to listen, etc., are placed with a tremendous wisdom. V'yira oisam nishman lechefzai. And see how they listen to him. V'oinenu yodeya masharoi lahaniya bahayam. And a person barely knows. When you speak, you barely know the science of what's happening that makes a voice come out of your throat. We instinctively speak in a way that brings forth a voice. Aladimian. For example, he says, Yitzalokum, a person, his brain tells his body, let me stand up. Wow. V'yimtza kolei varav ka'izr v'nishvayim. K'var hikimai gufai v'ula yadai varam ahem. If your brain tells you stand up, you stand up. You barely notice. Now, of course, when those joints, loyaleinu, give you problems, then you notice. Then you notice. You know, I never knew where my hip joint was until I had surgery, and I could point exactly to where the hip is, and I know where it is because I felt it for a long period of time. So, but in a normal person, in a healthy person, you know, you don't know what makes it work. It's just instinctive that the Evarim work properly. If you want to walk, to sit down, or any other situation, the same thing, the body just responds. And to this, David hinted when he said, God, you know my sitting and my standing. Everything I do is something that you set up. If that's true about your legs and your joints, it's certainly that way. It's dak va'omuk. It's deep and fine. The understanding of evare adibor, the parts of the human body that speak. Tira hatinik medaber komashu shemeya. A child speaks. It says whatever he hears. So any idea be'eza ever. Does a child know with which limb, be'eza otzev, be'eza miyase roi ledaber? Does he know with which limbs, be'eza miyase, he says, or is a reference to the veins or the arteries that help the body speak? V'chein kli hachoze, betami anigun. The same way a person sings, does he know, does it come from the chest singing? I don't know, he says, tami hachoze, the breast helps in a person singing. He barely knows what's going on. As if the Creator put them where He's needed at every moment. For everything He needs. I once read a essay by Lewis Thomas. Lewis Thomas was a research scientist who had a second career later in his life as an author. He wrote an article for the New Yorker at one point. That was a big hit. And he realized that all the things that he knows about the body, most people have no clue. So he wrote a number of essays and printed a number of books of essays. One of his famous ones, maybe the essay is The Cell. But it's really a collection of many essays. One of the most fascinating is an article about warts. The scientists have found that if you tell a person who has a wart that if you put a Band-Aid on it and leave the Band-Aid on for a week or two, I don't know how long, it's likely to fall off on its own. And it works in a great percentage. In approximately 50% of the cases, it works, although there's no logical reason that having a Band-Aid on a wart should cause warts to fall off. He explains in the article, if I had remembered, I would have brought it here. He explains in a fascinating way how when the brain is motivated to get rid of a wart, how it's able to do so, what exactly the brain does. And most owners of the brain have no awareness that the brain has this ability, has the ability. How the human body is so far more intelligent than we give it credit for, maybe more intelligent than we behave. And it knows so much more. And that's what he's saying. He's saying over here is that everything a person does, this third aspect of mitzvahs, to understand philosophically, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides us, is something that we should appreciate in all our movements. I always think about it by Maidim. You know, the Yerushalmi says that I don't want to malign any Amayra, but one of the Amayram said, I thank my head that when I get to Maidim, it bows. When you think about it, it's an incredible thing. Like, why is your head bowing at Maidim? Now, some people are awake and aware at the time, but even those of us who are not, the head bows at Maidim. It's an absolutely incredible, incredible thing. It's hard to explain. So he's saying that the brain functions even when the person is not fully aware of it, and the body works. So what's his point? V'adomer kena kar l'chein. Why is it so? Neshein inyan abriya doimele inyan hamalacha. What God created is not like what a human being creates. Ki uman kishu oisere chayim al dimyan. Let's say a person makes a meal. Al dimyan means, for example, v'yelachloi. And he goes home. Yasu harachayim asha ba'avurei nasu. Can the rechayim do that for which it was created? Habayis barach bayrei heyvarim v'noislam kaychais umamshuch lahem imaragoyim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives it everything, including its ability to move. V'lo yamalam alei v'stalkus hashkechosay v'hanagosay rega echad hayinipsad ha'olam kulay. The idea being that when a person would be malal alive, would be aware of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's constant hashkacha on the body, he would realize that nothing would remain. So that he said in his Machshava Rishayna that a person should be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching him. And here in what we're calling his second Machshava is that a person should be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance in everything. That's one thing to say, I won the lottery, God made it happen. Or whatever it is that happened that's out of the ordinary, that God made it happen. Another thing to see in that in everything a person does, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it happen. And his punchline is the bottom line here. When a person will have these two machshavis in every movement, this is the punchline of the idea, that a person will appreciate God's hand in all his movements. How could it be that he would do anything that is inconsistent with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do? So this is, I think, what you might call a cognitive behavioral therapy, that a person who wants to do things in a proper way should use an awareness of what's really happening around him, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance. And that way, a person will do mitzvahs, rather than doing mitzvahs out of habit, but to do them because of an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance and everything that's around him. And that's the theme of this piece, this essay, which I guess we're going to continue on Monday. But that's the theme. The theme in his first long essay in Hay was the theme of discipline. The theme here is a theme of motivation. A person being motivated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And it's a very powerful theme. I saw here last night or two nights ago, Naftali Trupp said an incredible observation about Rabbi Chana Wasserman. I don't know if any of you have ever read about Rabbi Chana. Rabbi Chana was a unique gadol in a generation of unique gedolim. They say that Rabbi Chana never smiled. And once in a Purim spiel, somebody imitated Rabbi Chana and caused him to smile, and he asked him to please stop. Now, Rabbi Chana never smiled because he had a sense of the Holocaust around the corner, or whatever it was, I don't know. But Rabbi Chana was a gibor in Yiras Shemayim. The quote I saw was that Talmidim were talking in Branovich about the incredible ability of Rabbi Chana to remember everything. Whatever he learned in Torah, that he would remember. If a Bachar told him a chiddush, he would remember it. If he saw something in the Sefer, he would remember it. And the Bachar were talking about his incredible memory with which he was blessed. To which Rabbi Naftali Trupp responded, Rabbi Naftali told him, no, it's not his memory. It's he knows, the Torah says, Hishomer lecha pentishkach. The Torah says that you better not forget anything in Torah. Hishomer lecha, it's alive in the Torah, don't forget. So Rabbi Chanan has such Yiras Shamayim that he wouldn't allow himself to forget because of Yiras Shamayim. God said, don't forget. How can I forget? I feel the same way, but it doesn't do that much for me. But that idea, that attitude is a, that's what he's talking about, every minute having this awareness. So Mitzvah Hashem, Monday we'll pick up on this. I have a wedding Tuesday night, so Monday and Thursday next week.